National.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo-Fall has been talking with the Voice of America this week about the tip-off of the BAL's inaugural season next month in Kigali, Rwanda. The 12-team tournament will be held from May 16th to May 30th at the Kigali Arena. In his interview with VOA in Johannesburg, South Africa, Amadou talked about a wide variety of topics. For our Sunny Side of Sports listeners who might have missed some of Amadou's comments, not to worry. This evening, we bring them to you in their entirety. Amadou begins by talking about the Basketball Africa League's significance.
The Basketball Africa League is another milestone in the NBA's effort to grow the game across the continent. As you know, we've opened the NBA Africa office in Johannesburg in 2010, right before the FIFA World Cup. But before that, we had launched Basketball Without Borders in 2003, where we brought 100 young boys ages 18 and under, and later on we added a program for the women also. That program is a partnership between the NBA and FIBA. It is our global community outreach and basketball development program. And I think we are in the 17th, the 18th edition last year, if COVID had permitted, of the Basketball Without Borders program. But that program that we ran every year from 2003 really gave us an impetus to think about having a physical presence on the ground, because we saw a tremendous opportunity to grow the sport. You know, the talent was certainly here and was always here. That talent had found its way in the NBA. As we know, great legends like Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo, Manute Bol, and a host of other, younger players who made their mark in the NBA. Basketball Without Borders was the first opportunity to provide young players an opportunity to showcase their talent and be coached by NBA team personnel and coaches. When we opened the office, we thought that we wanted to focus on really making the game more accessible to young boys and girls who have a passion and wants to play the game. And the decade that was from 2010 to 20, really to today, all the developments and all the activities we've conducted have led now to the launch of this professional basketball league that is Pan-African, that is a collaboration between FIBA and the NBA. So I think it's a natural evolution after really priming the region and shining a spotlight on the game, growing it from grassroots level. Now is the time to launch a professional league that will showcase African talent and that would also attract global talent.
In his interview with the Voice of America, Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo-Fall talked about the BAL's composition and how the teams qualified.
The Basketball Africa League is the Champions League model. It is building on the tradition of club basketball championships that FIBA, our partner, has been running. You have national leagues in all the countries across the continent. We are taking the champions of national leagues into the Basketball Africa League. And the way we structured this, there were six out of the 12 teams that come from countries that we preselected based on really their history with basketball tradition, the popularity of the sport, the level of infrastructure, and also where they fit if you look at the rankings, you know, in terms of basketball historically across the continent. The six countries that I talked about were Nigeria, which is going to represent Africa in the next Olympics. In the past few years, they've been, you know, a perennial presence in terms of really not only the talent they continue to produce into the NBA, but just their performances in international competition. Teams from Nigeria, Angola, Senegal, Egypt, Tunisia, and Morocco will qualify automatically. And those represent, in some form of order, you know, the top six, you know, teams, and they are definitely in the top 10 on the continent. And the other six teams are coming from countries that FIBA or partners organized qualifiers. Teams from 30 countries participated to deliver the other six. They came from Cameroon, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Mali, and Mozambique.
Amadou said he believes basketball will continue to attract new fans in Africa.
Everything we've seen over the past few decades since we've been in Africa, since the NBA, you know, have been coming and working at grassroots level to develop the sport, we have no doubt that everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. You know, they, players from Africa have been having major impact, you know, not only in the NBA, but also at, in the NCAA. And today, I mean, these days we are the March Madness, the annual college basketball tournament taking place with, you know, many African players in multiple elite college rosters. So, you know, the talent has always been there. The interest in the sport has is there. You know, I think through all the grassroots events that we conduct, the junior NBA programs we've launched in multiple countries, you know, we see that there is interest among the youth. I think having a professional league right here on the continent that is going to play in prime time, that is going to be broadcasted to viewers across the African continent and around the world, is going to add another, layer in terms of spotlighting the popularity of basketball on the continent. We've seen the fan base grow. NBA games are in multiple platforms across the continent, right here in South Africa through ESPN, our partner, and ETV. You know, and you go in the Francophone countries, it's broadcasted on Canal Plus, and we recently, the NBA Africa has recently signed a partnership in Kenya. That is, the games are broadcasted on free to air, and we're getting, you know, tremendous feedback from that. So the fan base has steadily grown. So we are, you know, really excited about the opportunity to continue to even grow that more.
As Amadou Gallo Fall and the Basketball Africa League continue their efforts to grow the sport on the continent, Amadou realizes COVID-19 protocols will need to be followed in Kigali next month.
That's a primary focus, you know, is really to make sure that we launch the league in a safe environment, both in terms of, you know, security and health of all the stakeholders involved, the players, the coaches, all the team personnel. And the good news is the NBA have conducted, you know, I think three bubbles with the end of finishing last season in Orlando and the Disney campus, and then the G League has also finished the season, the G League most recently. So we have all that experience, and also our partner FIBA have organized qualifiers last November and then most recently in February, using an environment that is really very controlled. You know, it's a bubble with consistent testing and making sure that all the measures that the Global Health Organization and National Health Organization prescribe. So, you know, I'm confident that we'll be able to play in that safe environment. Ideally, you know, if the conditions permit, we will have limited spectators, but it's all going to depend on where the pandemic is. You know, we are seeing encouraging signs, but at the same time, we are going to have protocol that is going to ensure that we can play this inaugural season, you know, in the safest way possible to safeguard the safety of all the people involved. And if we are able to have fans, even at limited capacity, we will look at that.
Amadou said some top NBA coaches and experts have offered advice ahead of the launch of the new league.
One of the way we really maximize on the time that we were waiting to decide when we're going to restart the season after we postponed in March 2020, we conducted this BAL leadership series from mid-June to really mid-October, twice a month, where we've had some of the best minds in our game come and conduct these exchanges with our BAL teams. We've had the likes of Coach Greg Popovich from the San Antonio Spurs, Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, Steve Kerr at the Golden State Warriors, and also general managers and team presidents like Masai Ujiri, Donnie Nelson at the Dallas Mavericks, R.C. Buford. So we brought really a vast cast of experts to come and share their experiences, to talk about their ways, how do they establish the culture in their franchises, and I'll just provide advice in building a winning sport in basketball organization. And in terms of players, we are expecting a good number of players from all around the world, because the way we structure the rosters for our team, out of the 12-man rosters, there will be 8 national players and then 4 import. Among those 4 imports, 2 will come from other African countries, and the 2 others will come from anywhere in the world. And we've been getting a lot of inquiries from players who've played all around the world, from the U.S. or different basketball countries in Europe. A lot of American-based players who've had G League experience who are interested in coming to play in the Basketball Africa League.
Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo-Fall also has not ruled out seeing a women's BAL in the future.
We are committed to growing the sport, you know, really across gender. And I think if you look at all our initiatives at grassroots level, we have, for example, camps and clinics where we have both boys and girls. So in that vein, we have no limit, no restrictions in terms of how far we can go with also building the women's game. Our partner FIBA is also very focused on growing the women's game, and we are right there with them in support. So we have to start someplace, but I have no doubt that, you know, down the line, you know, there will be reason and the impetus to also provide this opportunity for women.
Basketball Africa League president Amadou Gallo-Fall says the BAL will be involved in social justice initiatives.
I think this is something that has always been intrinsic in the NBA. Players and coaches and all people involved have always been free to have their opinions and you know, and really participate in the social discourse, you know, to advance communities, to raise issues, to raise awareness. Social responsibility has been at the heart of, you know, really our strategy to, at least in Africa and around the world, expand the NBA's reach. You know, we have been very focused on building communities. Our players have been on the forefront, not just the last 2 years, in terms of, you know, being advocate and being interested in causes that were beyond basketball. So that doesn't stay only in the U.S. You know, a few weeks ago, the NBA Africa and the Basketball Africa League announced our social justice initiative that is going to be focused on really gender equality, fighting gender-based violence in Africa, and promoting girls' education to make sure that young girls have the same opportunities to achieve their dreams as boys. And also another pillar of our social justice initiative is economic inclusion. We are going to promote partnerships with small SMEs from African countries where we do business, where we work to grow our sport, and also beyond. So I think this is nothing new, and we are building on the foundation that started in the U.S., and as we remain part of the NBA family, the Basketball Africa League is part of the NBA families of leagues, like the G League, the WNBA, and 2K, the same values that we have. Our players will be free to be involved in causes that is of interest and also in causes that would advance community development.
Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall has been talking with the Voice of America this week about the BAL. Amadou says he's looking forward to the games in May.
I am extremely excited. I've been, look, I mean, it's been a long wait, but it's all worth it because we just didn't sit in our hands. Even though we were not able to tip off in March last year, we really used the time to get involved when the pandemic hits. You know, we've ran programs to support NGOs that were working to really elevate communities. And, for example, in Senegal, we partnered with Alima. It's an alliance of, medical professionals to help healthcare workers with equipment, and also in other organizations where we contributed in providing needed resources to really get these less fortunate communities to help get them through the difficulties of the pandemic. And, you know, we've stayed engaged with our teams through, for example, the NBA Together platform. We ran something similar with BAL Together just to stay connected with our fans, continue to push young people to stay motivated, even though it was tough to stay home and doing everything online. You know, then we found innovative ways to stay connected and to keep the fans engaged around the game, and also all the social initiatives that were being carried on.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall. And Amadou was speaking with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Coming up, our periodic Africa update. We'll talk with two Africa experts about the economic and social impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and find out what factors are driving the insurgency roiling northern Mozambique. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with a big package of African sports news. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with African women's football. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sunny. We begin this weekend wrap of African sports review with women's football, as South Africa is set to host two international friendly matches beginning this weekend as to prepare for the 2022 CAF African Women's Cup of Nations qualifiers kicking off later this month. Bayana Bayana of South Africa will face COSAFA rivals Zambia and Botswana on Saturday the 10th of April and Tuesday the 13th of April 2021 respectively. The clashes will both take place at the Bidvest Stadium in Mill Park, Johannesburg. Zambia national women's coach Bruce Mwepe anticipates an exciting fixture between the Copper Queens of Zambia and Bayana Bayana of South Africa on Saturday.
Yeah, like I've said, these are new players. It's better they face a stiff competition, like playing South Africa. South Africa is a good side, and we want them to give us the positive results.
Bayana Bayana head coach Desiree Ellis has called up 26 players, but she has had to exclude some overseas-based players due to COVID-19 restrictions. Botswana coach Gaoletlo Inkosisang has called to camp the experienced trio of Bonang Othiengle, Nandi Mathelisa, and Masengo Motso ahead of the anticipated match against Zambia and South Africa.
So far, so good about the 30 players that are showing determination, that are showing commitment. So far, it wasn't bad. For now, they're coping. But all in all, I'll just say everyone is on board. They're working very hard. The young players that we introduced to the senior team, it shows what they're committed, they want to be in the selection. So I think all in all, so far, We are preparing for our game.
Staying with women's football, the Cameroon's women's national team will this weekend continue with their quest to qualify for the Tokyo 2020 Olympics women's football tournament when they face Chile in the CAF Common Ball Intercontinental Playoff doubleheader, first on Saturday, April the 10th, and then the second match on the 13th of April in Antalya, Turkey. With Zambia claiming the sole automatic ticket for Africa last March, the Indomitable Lionesses will need to overcome the South Americans, who are eyeing their maiden appearance in Tokyo. The doubleheader against Chile was due to take place in April last year and was later postponed to February this year as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. And now to men's football. The South African Football Association are reportedly trying to persuade Pitso Mosimane to take on the South African national team coaching job after shockingly crashing out of the 2021 African qualifiers following a loss to Sudan. South Africa parted ways with head coach Molefe Ntseki and are in a desperate need for a coach as they get ready for their 2022 Qatar FIFA World Cup qualifiers, which starts in June. Several names have been linked with the job, but it seems that the technical committee formed to find a new coach has its eyes set on Al Ahly's Pitso Mosimane. Nkululeko Nkweno, South Africa's sports journalist, paints a picture of a South African national football team caught in a desperate position.
Yeah, South Africa are in an interesting position when it comes to their next coaching appointment, largely because whoever they want at the moment, they have to think about the idea that in 6 months' time, they may have to dismiss them. Because, of course, that's the nature of football. You fail to qualify, then you have to be dismissed for the most part. There are very few associations that are patient enough to they give you a tenure and continue with your tenure after you fail to qualify. I say that with certainty because we are playing qualifiers. By the end of October, we will know that we haven't qualified. Most likely, we won't because we're in a group with Ghana, Ethiopia, and Zimbabwe. We're not better than Ghana. We probably are not better than Zimbabwe as well. And Ethiopia, even if we argue that we are better than them, they are in the African Cup of Nations and we are not. Back to the point is whether or not Carlos Queiroz and even Hervé Renard are going to be the coaches of Bafana Bafana. Looking at the dynamics, it's going to be very difficult to see them being part of the squad. Hervé Renard, I think, is occupied somewhere. He is in a team, is coaching either Saudi Arabia. I may be mixing up the two of them, Carlos Queiroz and Hervé Renard, but one of them is tied up in a contract.
And now to the CAF Champions League, where the last round of the CAF Champions League group stage will get underway this Friday with three vacant places in the tournament's quarterfinals still to be decided. Only five teams have guaranteed their qualification for next round of the coveted African competition. In the late Group A game on Friday, Egypt's Al Ahly take on Group A table toppers Simba from Tanzania in their final group game in the CAF Champions League on Friday. Al Ahly are guaranteed runners-up spot after their 2-2 draw with Al Merrikh in their last match. Simba, who beat Al Ahly in the reverse fixture in the pool, will top Group A regardless of Friday's result. Simba's coach is Didier Gomez.
We have a very tough match to play. It's very important for us to show to everybody that we are progressing, we are growing up. For sure, we will finish in the first position in this group. We really want to make a good performance here, and we are very motivated to stay unbeaten in this group.
For his part, Pitso Mosimane, Al Ahly head coach, says the game against Simba is a very important match.
Yes, we have a game that we need to complete on the group, the last game. Important game for ourselves, for our profile. Yes, the results don't mean anything in terms of qualification, but the results means a lot to our club and our supporters.
In Group B, CL Belouizdad will meet Mamelodi Sundowns in the last round at home, while Al Hilal will be hosted by TP Mazembe in a must-win battle. In Group C, Wydad Casablanca have guaranteed their place in the quarterfinal, but is still uncertain whether they will qualify as the group winner or the second-placed occupant. Wydad are now top of the group with 10 points, while the second qualifying spot is still up for grabs, with both Horoya of Guinea and Kaizer Chiefs battling for it in the last round, as both sides are leveled on 8 points. Zamalek of Egypt, who were runners-up in the last year's edition, must win their game against Senegalese Tourniquet on Saturday to confirm their quarterfinal slot, while MC Alger will have to lose against Group D leaders Esperance Sportive. Staying with football news, FIFA has ordered Zamalek of Egypt to pay $1 million within 30 days to their former Ghanaian striker Benjamin Achapong in compliance with the Court of Arbitration for Sports ruling in December. The 30-year-old has claimed unpaid dues after the termination of of his contract in 2018 and won the case against the Cairo Giants. The White Knight appealed against the Court of Arbitration for Sports verdict, but the FIFA's disciplinary committee has informed Zamalek of their obligation to pay, according to Atipong's lawyer. Away from football now, in mixed martial arts news, manager of Kamaru Usman, reigning Ultimate Fighting Championship welterweight champion, has hit back at Conor McGregor after the Irishman accused the welterweight champion of copying his one-liners. McGregor took to Twitter on Thursday to accuse the Nigerian-born American professional mixed martial artist of stealing his phrases. However, Kamaru Usman's manager, Ali Abdulaziz, has slammed the former Ultimate Fighting Champion's featherweight and lightweight champion, branding him a scumbag, before insisting that McGregor does not have the courage to settle his feud with Usman in the octagon. Abdulaziz, who also manages McGregor's arch rival, Khabib Nurmagomedov, added that he has no doubt over the outcome of a possible Usman-McGregor fight.
If he put these two guys in a cage, in a street fight, in the trunk of the car, in a jail cell, you know who's going to be whose daddy. Kamaru Usman will be Conor's daddy every day of the week. I'm not worried about Conor. Conor McGregor is not my problem. For me, he is a star. You know, I'm not going to take this away from him. But he's irrelevant as a competitor in his prime, right? He's not in his prime anymore, right? He's just a guy who generates a lot of hype and a lot of money for the UFC, and I respect him, you know? When we talk about Masvidal, he bring a challenge, right? You know, he's a bigger guy. He have a lot of experience, but it doesn't really matter. Like, it doesn't matter at this point. You can just, his faces. You're going to put any of these guys against Kamaru. Kamaru's going to smash their face.
Usman returns to the octagon to take on George Masvidal in a highly anticipated rematch later this month in Jacksonville, Florida. The sixth edition of the Lagos City Marathon will hold this Saturday. The Lagos City Marathon, the biggest one-day marathon event in Africa, usually attracts over 100,000 runners, but the number has been reduced to just 300 runners for the 2021 edition due to the COVID-19 restrictions. The organizers have reviewed their target to grab a gold label status with this edition, while participants are optimistic of a good outing. The interesting twist to this year's edition is that runners from across the world can register and participate in a virtual 10 kilometers race. And now to Kenya, where Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary, Ambassador Amina Mohammed, is presiding over the nationwide vaccination drive for athletes and the country's national teams. The Kenyan teams that will be participating in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics and Paralympic Games have been prioritized, including all personnel working on the World Athletics Under 20 and the Kenya Safari Rally. The Cabinet Sports Secretary said in total they have secured 3,500 vaccines for the exercise in collaboration with the Kenya Ministry of Health and the Nairobi Metropolitan Services.
We start off an exercise of vaccinating all our Olympians, our sportsmen and women. We're going to roll this out, in a few days from today. We'll have a few more tomorrow. Today we'll have 600 vaccinated. Tomorrow about 500. On Monday we'll have another group of athletes coming through to be vaccinated as well. And we're hoping that by middle of next week we'll take stock and see how many of our athletes we have, sportsmen, sportswomen we have vaccinated.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley with another extra spicy package of African sports news.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Englishman Justin Rose held a four-shot lead after Thursday's first round of the Masters Golf Tournament in the southern U.S. city of Augusta, Georgia. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Justin Rose has taken a remarkable four-shot lead after the first round of the Masters. The Englishman 9-under for his last 11 holes on his way to an improbable 7-under 65 on an extremely challenging first day at the hard and fast Augusta National Course.
You can't win the golf tournament today, even with a 65. You can't win it today. You can only probably lose it today.
It is the fourth time he's led the first round at Augusta, and his effort puts him four clear of Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman. Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson are among those at 2-under, with Jordan Spieth at 1-under on a day where just 12 players broke par. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. wraps up the April 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.